Urban 75 Radio.
That was a selection of highlights from the most recent offline, recorded on Thursday the 28th of April. As well as music, entertainment, discussions, we also want to use Urban 75 Radio to highlight the news stories from around the world that the mainstream media just doesn't touch. And today it's the 1st of May. It's a date that's become synonymous with anti-capitalist demonstrations and with protests, a day when many movements and individuals come together to indicate dissatisfaction with the system. And over the years there's been some striking camera footage of police cordons, of looting, and of course of the peaceful protests that make up the demonstration. And coming up next is a selection of alternative media, news articles and radio archives that remembers the events of past May Days, examines the purpose of May Day and what the future might bring.
Hello and welcome to Urban 75's alternative media show. And on today's show we're going to have some archive material from May Day 2002, a potted history of May Day and what's happening for this year's May Day. As I said, this is alternative media, so don't expect your normal programming, all nicely put together segments and, you know, BBC styly. It won't be like that at all. I hope you enjoy today's offering. Any links that I mentioned during the show, I'll put them up on the Urban Radio thread. I don't think you need to know anything else, so let's just fucking get on with it.
It is the dawn of the 21st century. Globally, the oppressors are waging a war against the oppressed. The first casualty of war is truth, and the oppressors have big guns, money, power, and a stranglehold on the media. But we can fight back. We have our own weapons, vision, creativity, and indie media. Indie media was born in the clouds of tear gas that filled the streets of Seattle in 1999. It has since grown to a network of over 120 media centres worldwide. Indie media stories come out of the trenches, from the mouths of the frontline fighters. They come from those who resist and are rising up. They come from you.
We have the
spirit shouldn't come from money.
Find out what's really going on. Break through the corporate veil.
They will not tell our story well. They will lie.
Fuck the corporate media.
Tell your story, yourself, through indie media. On the web, with video, radio or print. Choose your weapon and act. Empower yourself and others. Fight for truth.
Eventually the truth, even though it's beaten down, covered up, will rise to the top.
Indie media. Because corporate media is always out of focus.
The power comes from the people, from you and I, from the bottom up.
Just one of the alternative media sources I use. Another one is Schnooze, and another one is our very own lovely Urban 75.
May Day!
A potted history of May Day. May Day originated as a pagan festive holy day, celebrating the first spring planting. The Celts and Saxons celebrated 1st of May as Beltane, which means the day of fire. Bel was the Celtic god of the sun. The Saxons began their May Day celebrations on the eve of May, April 30th. It was an evening of games and feasting, celebrating the end of winter and the return of the sun and fertility of the soil. The revellers, led by the goddess of the hunt Diana and the horned god Herne, would travel up the hill, shouting, chanting, singing, and blowing hunting horns. This night became known as the Night of the Witches. The Celtic tradition of May Day in the British Isles continued to be celebrated throughout the Middle Ages by rural and village folk. Here the traditions were similar, with a goddess and god of the hunt. As European peasants moved away from hunting-gathering societies, their gods and goddesses changed to reflect a more agrarian society. Thus, Diana and Herne became to be seen by medieval villagers as fertility deities of the crops and fields. Diana became the Queen of the May, and Herne became Robin Goodfellow, or the Green Man. The Queen of the May reflected the life of the fields, and Robin reflected the hunting traditions of the woods. The rites of May Day were part and parcel of pagan celebrations of the seasons. May Day was a raucous and fun time, electing the Queen of the May to rule the crops until harvest, and the raising of the phallic maypole, around which the young single men and women of the village would dance, holding on to the ribbons until they became entwined, hopefully with their new love. There was also Robin Goodfellow, the Green Man, who was Lord of Misrule for this day. May Day was a celebration of the common people, and Robin would be king, priest, or fool for a day. Priests and lords were the butt of many jokes. The church and state did not take kindly to these celebrations, especially during times of popular rebellion. May Day and the Maypole were outlawed in the 1600s. Yet the tradition still carried on in many rural areas, and the trade societies still celebrated May Day until the 18th century. In London, the May Fair was transferred from Haymarket in 1686 to Mayfair. The Mayfair lasted for up to 16 days, and it soon became notorious for riotous and disorderly behaviour. Building on the site was probably the most effective way of permanently suppressing the fair, and by the mid-18th century, almost the whole of modern Mayfair was covered with houses. The celebration of May Day as a working-class holiday evolved from the struggle of the 8-hour day in the 1880s. In 1884, the Federation of Organised Trades and Labour Unions passed a resolution stating that 8 hours would constitute a legal day's work from and after May the 1st, 1886, with workers being forced to work 10, 12 and 14 hours a day. Rank and file support for the 8-hour movement grew rapidly. By April 1886, hundreds of thousands of American workers, increasingly determined to resist subjugation to capitalist power, had joined a fledgling trade union, the Knights of Labour. The heart of the movement was in Chicago, organized primarily by the Revolutionary International Working Men's Association. Workers there had been agitating for an 8-hour day for months, and on the eve of May the 1st, 50,000 were already on strike. 30,000 more swelled their ranks the next day, bringing most of Chicago manufacturing to a standstill as they took to the street to demand universal adoption of the 8-hour day. But on May the 3rd, police fired into a crowd of strikers at the McCormick Reaper Works factory, killing 4 and wounding many. Angered by the state violence and murderous police, a group of anarchists, led by August Spears and Albert Parsons, called on workers to arm themselves and participate in a massive protest demonstration in Haymarket Square the following evening. The meeting proceeded without incident, and by the time the last speaker was on the platform, the rainy gathering was already breaking up, with only a few hundred people remaining. It was then that 180 police marched into the square and ordered the meeting to disperse. As the speakers climbed down from the platform, a bomb was thrown at the police, killing 1 and injuring 70. Police responded by firing into the crowd, killing 1 worker and injuring many others. All known socialists and anarchists were rounded up. "Make the raids first and look up the law afterwards," was the public statement of Julius Grimmel, the state's attorney. 8 of Chicago's most active anarchists were charged with accessories to murder in a spectacular show trial which opened June 21st, 1886. A kangaroo court found all 8 guilty, despite a lack of evidence connecting any of them to the bomb thrower. Only 1 was even present at the meeting, and he was on the speaker's platform. They were all sentenced to death. Albert Parsons, August Spears, Adolf Frischer, and George Engel were hanged on November 11th, 1887. Louis Ling committed suicide in prison. 250,000 people lined Chicago's streets during Parsons' funeral procession to express their outrage at this gross miscarriage of justice. The campaign to free Neeb, Schwab and Fielden continued. On June 26, 1893, Governor Altgeld set them free. He made it clear he was not granting the pardon because he thought the men had suffered enough, but because they were innocent of the crime for which they had been tried. They and the hanged men had been the victims of hysteria, biased juries, and a biased judge. For workers and revolutionaries everywhere, Haymarket became a symbol of the struggle for a new world. In Paris in 1889, the founding Congress of the Second International declared May the 1st an international working-class holiday in commemoration of the Haymarket martyrs, and the red flag became the symbol of the blood of working-class martyrs in their battle for workers' rights. But the Second International's commitment to internationalism was shown to be deeply flawed when they condemned millions of workers to death in the trenches of the First World War in defence of their fatherland. After the two world wars, the labour movement continued to pay lip service to May Day, and the occasion became a day for making grand speeches but little else. In London, a march continued to be organised, but this became more and more irrelevant, except on the few occasions when it happened to coincide with a major dispute, the last being Wapping. The annual march became dominated by Stalinists, which led, on one occasion, to anarchists being attacked. In 1998, a number of people organised a conference with the aim of bringing the broad movement together and opening up new dialogues. The conference was hosted in Bradford, where local anarchists and others had been attempting to reclaim May Day. About 1,000 activists attended the conference, and, although it was not designed to be a decision-making conference, the result was renewed cooperation from groups and individuals who put aside personal disputes. The newfound unity was experienced in action a year later at the J18 Carnival Against Capital in the City of London. The May Day march itself in Bradford was a sea of red and black flags. In 1999, inspired by the Bradford Conference, a small group of activists from Reclaim the Streets and West London anarchists and radicals set about organising a tube party in opposition to privatisation of the tube and in solidarity with tube workers. May Day fell on a sunny Saturday, and over 1,000 people crowded into a Circle Line train. A leaflet mimicking official London Underground information leaflets was distributed, which declared, "If we want another world, we've got to stop maintaining this one through our action or inaction. The power of our rulers is based on the fact that they have separated us from each other, and we act as alienated individual workers and passive consumers. By endlessly repeating the same patterns, paying our fares and bills, going to work, watching the world unfold on TV, we recreate this world every day. Today we attempt for a brief period to upset the normal pattern, to feel the power that we have when we act together." The event marked a turning point. May Day would never be the same again. J18 transformed the anti-capitalist movement in the UK, and the following year a much larger group came together to organise a four-day May Day 2000, Festival of Anti-Capitalist Ideas and Action. May Day 2000. Parliament Square was transformed by guerrilla gardening. Resistance is fertile, was the declaration. And the banner tied across the Treasury building in Parliament Square read, "The earth is a common treasury for all." This day, as it happens, was the birth of Indie Media UK, with a public access terminal in Parliament Square and the website going live. So I'm going to end this potted history of May Day by wishing Indie Media UK happy birthday.
May Day! This is May Day!
Okay, a little bit of time travel, taking it back to May Day 2002. The Indie Media web radio that was broadcast all through the day. The last May Day that really saw some big protests in central London. Here's a few of the highlights. Just a little snippet to take you back in time.
Songs of protest and celebration here on May Day 2008. Bringing songs of protest and celebration here on May Day 2008.
Keeping it real on Indie Media Radio. We have one success story. The critical mass from North London has managed to reach Hyde Park and is now going in a southerly direction. And so I expect North London to find them very, very soon. There's around 300 to 400 people, with 100 people walking on foot. And they've managed to avoid being section 60'd by the police.
Okay, well, basically, we've split into two groups. We're keeping it fluid, moving and rolling. The police blocked the street, and others went down an alleyway. So, at the moment, we're wandering around. We're going to try and catch up with the others again and reform. Our group at the moment is about 350. We're at Broadwick Street. Atmosphere's cool, it's quite relaxed, laid back, people are just chilling. We're on the move again now. So it's just a constant flow, really. It's a quiet atmosphere at the moment. A little bit livelier would be nice. The other group is we'd like to hear from them, see what they're up to and where they go. Take care, see you later.
Hello, being at Oxford Circus, it's around 4:30. There's people hanging around from windows and there's people underneath cheering them on. It's just two groups of them meeting, a dangerously clad in black sort of group, and the other one a bit more fluffy, I'd say. But everyone was actually very happy to see each other, and they bypassed the police without any problems, so I think this is a good May Day.
Union speeches are still going on. Some of the speakers have been saying that it's great that people are coming together and that we really need to work together to fight against capitalism and to fight against corporate globalisation. Meanwhile, on the street in front of the National Gallery itself, the situation where there was some scuffles going on seems to have calmed down. The police are currently clearing the whole street in front of the National Gallery and have pushed the crowd back to St. Martin's in the Fields Church. Meanwhile, the group on the other side where the scuffling was going on is still being kept at the same police line where the police put a line across the road and stopped them, which is when the pushing and shoving started, when people were pushed together quite tightly. The square is much full of people listening to the speeches things look relatively calm here at the moment.
Okay, we had a report earlier that Trafalgar Square had been Section 60.
I'm not aware of that. I'm standing in front of the National Gallery. The police won't let us out via the road. As I said, they put lines on either side now, and one at St. Martin's in the Field. But they are saying you can get out if you go into the square. In fact, the police have just relaxed their cordon where they were holding people. That were occurring to the left of the gallery, they've just relaxed people. And people are now walking towards the other police line in front of St. Martin's in the Field. Although, as stated, the police said they won't allow people out that way, but they will allow people out if they go through the square. Into Wardour Street. It seems that what occurred was someone threw a bottle of cream over a policeman. And now the police are moving in to really push the crowd from the old Compton side. A couple of missiles have gone over. People are throwing some bottles at the police line.
Doesn't sound too good.
Carl! Thank you! What's your number, please? Why did you do that to me?
That was really out of order.
You dragged me by the back of my toe, back around my neck, you smashed my capital. What's your number?
2K19, yes, okay. This is live as it happens now on the streets, Compton Street. Police are charging people, I think.
people.
Okay, we're just standing inside Old Compton Tree, or not inside, because police have cordoned off the area around it. There's about 200 people still inside what seems to be a Section 60, although the police aren't confirming or denying that. What seems to be happening now is that they're letting people out one by one, although they are searching people as they come out. Nobody is allowed to enter anywhere near Old Compton Street, even with a press pass. The message is you can't go in for your own safety. We're searching people. They may be carrying knives and weapons. At the moment, people are still being streamed out one by one. The mood, the crowd inside seems to be okay, not that agitated, although obviously people are starting to get a little bit pissed off.
Yeah.
Bye.
A little bit from the Indie Media Archive, that was live as it happened, radio from May Day 2002.
The 1st of May 005, thousands of precarious will cross 20 cities all over Europe, celebrating the second Euro May Day parade of liberation of global, European and migrant precarious.
Globalproject.info present Euromayday Trip 2005, a journey into the world of precarity, flexicurity and migration. Amsterdam,
Barcelona,
Copenhagen,
Hamburg,
Helsinki,
Givascela,
L'Aquila,
Lyon,
Liège,
Ljubljana,
London,
Maribor,
Marseille,
Milan,
Napoli,
Palermo,
Paris,
Sevilla,
Stockholm,
Vienna.
I have now in the studio Sonia Brunzels from the Office of Applied Realism, who's going to tell us something about this year's May Day. And my first question, Sonia, is what is Euro May Day?
Euro May Day is the last incarnation of May Day, the International Workers' Day. Euro May Day started in 2001 with a May Day parade in Milan in Italy. And this was the first time that precarious work and life relations were part of the May Day celebrations and protests. Not in a traditional march, but with a creative and colourful May Day parade, flex and chain workers demanded new social rights. And 3 years later, in 2004, it was already 80,000 people who participated in Euro May Day parades of casualised workers, temps, part-timers, immigrants and unemployed. People marched in five European cities, plus several thousands who signed up for a virtual May Day parade of the precarious on the internet. Tomorrow on May Day, Europe will be covered in May Day parades. It's about 20 cities. People will take to the streets from Milan to Copenhagen, from Barcelona to Stockholm, from Paris to Ljubljana, in Amsterdam, London, Hamburg, and many others. Street parties, critical mass bike rides, cricket matches, and many other elements will melt into one big synchronized European May Day parade.
Wow, that sounds fun. Sounds big as well. Sonia, what exactly is precarity?
Precarity? I don't really know how to explain it, so I looked it up in Collins English Language Dictionary, which is about 15 years old now. And the dictionary says something that is precarious is in a dangerous state or position because it is not securely held in place and seems likely to fall down or collapse at any moment. And it also says if your situation or position is precarious, you are not secure because you're not in complete control of events and might fail in what you're doing. So that gives you an idea what precarity or precarious means. Traditional May Day marches were organized by trade unions and demanded work or better work conditions. But since the first May Day marches demanded an 8-hour day more than 100 years ago, working conditions and life in capitalism have changed. The London Euro May Day website explains it. They say work has become more casualized. Temporary contracts, flex time, part time, no time. Forcing us to adapt to the point where it's hard to tell when, where, or even if we are working. This leaves us in a situation where our lives are always on hold, on call, or at the mercy of the market. Our leisure time, too, is filled with anxieties. The anxiety of not being able to have enough money to pay the rent, go to the cinema, a nice restaurant, shop for food, clothes, anything. In reality, our work never finishes, and when we are not at work, we still end up making some other person even richer. Around Europe, people call this new working and living condition precarity.
And what's the website you mentioned?
Oh, sorry, the website is called www.precarity.info. And the website for Euro Mayday, where all the different cities have links, all the different parades have links, is called www.euromayday.org.
And what exactly is Euro Mayday about?
Euro Mayday focuses on the struggle for social rights for everyone, no matter if they have work or not. Instead of agitating the proletariat in a traditional manner, Euro Mayday is talking about the precariat, people who are precarious, employees in badly paid jobs without benefits and workers' rights, unemployed people, temps, and so on. Precarity is nothing new. For unskilled workers, women, migrants, probably many others, precarity has always been part of normality. But presently, more and more areas of life are becoming precarious, unstable, risky for more and more people. And this includes those who, like academics, cultural workers, or graphic designers, have traditionally had the privilege of secure jobs. Precarity extends to more areas of life than just work. You never know how long you will be able to stay in the house you live in. You never know if you will earn money tomorrow and how much. And migrants don't even know if they will be allowed to stay in the country. Euro Mayday focuses on the similarities of very different individual lives. It tries to create a platform for shared political action. It reaches out to those at the tilt of supermarkets, culture workers and unemployed, sex workers, web designers and other brain workers. Similar in all of these situations is the precarity of the lives, the imposed flexibility without any social benefits or security.
I see. So, tell me, what has Euro Mayday got to do with migration?
Well, most migrants are probably in the most precarious position of all, or in the most marginalized conditions. And not only where work, pay and permits are concerned, but also with regard to their right to be in the country in the first place, the right not to be deported. So solidarity between migrants and other precarized people seems obvious. And at the European Social Forum last year in London, migrants and no border movements have actually teamed up with the precarious, the Euro Mayday people. Both movements called for their own day of action, and both included a call to the other movement's action day in their propaganda. So that's quite an unusual progress.
And can you tell us a little bit about what happened or what's happening in London this May Day?
To be honest, I don't know what's happening this year in London for May Day. Apart from the standard traditional marches and demonstrations, of course. What I found at the website of the London Euro Mayday people was the following. They say London is one of the most expensive cities in the world to live and has the longest working hours in any Western city. But for most people, work is not even close to be the best paid. Mayday this year falls on a Sunday, once a day for relaxing, now part of the working week for many people. In London, we aim to make Mayday a day off for everyone. A day when we extend our hand of solidarity over the counter and check out and learn to live for free. So it's something to be curious about. They also offer coupons to get free entry to expensive cinemas, restaurants, or, as they say, anywhere else, your pay packet or dole has never let you go. So that's the Euro Mayday part, and there's also a cricket match at Parliament Square at 2 o'clock in London by the Space Hijackers. The Space Hijackers have challenged every Labour, Conservative and Liberal Democrat MP to a game of cricket over their lack of honour and morals.
That cricket match is Parliament Square at 2 o'clock. Thanks very much, Sonia, for coming in and doing that.
You're welcome.
That's all we've got time for. I'll leave you with a precarious mix from Barcelona.
Drum and the Bass by JRJ 2020, and that was Urban 75 Radio. We hope you've enjoyed the first edition, and we've got a lot more coming up in the next few weeks. We've got a discussion from Bristol between Fat Hamster and Bristol Chris, hosted by Piers Gibbon. It's going to be touching on issues like the election, to vote or not to vote, the role and the value of the local police, the role of the Gusset in on-air drug taking, and a public denouncement of the American Pledge of Allegiance. Then we'll be broadcasting a couple of dedicated music shows, highlighting the musicians on the boards and playing some of their new singles. And after that, after you've heard these shows, I'm sure you're going to agree that we've got some of the finest unsigned acts around. Then there's an election coming up this week, so we've got some more alt media with a look at both the local and the international political scene. And we'll hopefully have a post-election discussion, pulling apart the results and seeing whether there really is any chance for real change. And later on in the week we have a health, sexuality and relationship discussion where we look at sex, relationships, libidos and the horrors and fascinations of body modification. And then we'll be revisiting offline. We've got some interviews with the performers and the punters. And well, there's just much, much more. So have a look at the thread in the community or on the website for more details of our lineup. Or have a look at the rundown of what we broadcast today. And we want your feedback, so let us know what you thought by posting on the thread in community. So we'll see you on the boards. But for now, that was Urban 75 Radio.